excuse me, I've got one sad bit of news for you.
Maureen, you can't sit there.
That's the first sad bit of news. You can't sit there. I think Uncle Amir is going to come and park his wheelchair. He's out there. See, I told him specifically. This will tell you exactly how hard his head is. I told him specifically, I made a place for him. We moved the chair this morning at 7 in the morning. We moved this chair. We got it ready for him to put right where you are, and he still is insisting to be out there. Ya Amir. Okay. Well, I can't see through walls, so I didn't know he was there. Okay. But I have some sad piece of news for you. Manny Gerges has a tumor on his adrenal gland. I don't know any more about it than
they're
that.
Actually very positive about it. Like, it's one of the better options if it could have been wrong with him, so.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, yeah,
it's
I mean,
benign,
if you're facing,
okay.
If you're facing, you know, a vat of acid filled with piranha, this seems like it's a walk in the park, but to have to have a tumor anywhere in your body is not good. So pray for him. I left a voicemail. We haven't contacted each other person to person because we've missed each other. I called him yesterday at what I thought would be lunchtime for him. I thought, you know, surely everybody, you know, eats at this time. Of course, I don't know what he was doing, or he wasn't picking up, or he was taking a nap, or whatever. But the thing is that I haven't spoken to him, so I don't know. You know, I don't know what they have found out since I received the news. But I'm sharing this with you so that you keep him this liturgy in your prayers, as he is a member of our family and will remember, be a continuing member of our family no matter where he is sent by God to serve. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The passage from the Gospel that we've just prayed today is a familiar one. It begins with a man who's described as a young rich man, or in one of the other Synoptic Gospels, also a young ruler. The Synoptic Gospels, by the way, are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John being the theological gospel. And he runs to the Lord Jesus Christ, kneels before him in an outward display of servitude and respect, and he asks him, addressing him as good teacher, what shall I do to inherit have eternal life? And the Lord, of course, responds in a way that at first is surprising and may appear as kind of a glib response, and I'll get to that in a moment. And the Lord then tells him and reminds him the commandments, to which the man then responds, Lord, I have obeyed these from my youth. But when the Lord addressed him and said, one thing you lack, you know, sell all you have, give your money to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, it's written that he went away sad. And at this point, the Lord then explains to his disciples the difficulty with which a person who trusts in the material, who puts the material in a place that it was not meant to be, to inherit eternal life. It's fitting that we hear the message of this gospel before or at the very start of the Nativity Fast for a number of reasons. Number one, it reminds us, as I said, where we should put where we should order the material in our lives. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ explains to this young man that he lacks one thing, even though supposedly he has obeyed all the commandments since his youth, he explains to the disciples that it is very difficult for any person who has riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when the disciples looked at him and were astonished by what he had said, he explains himself. And he says how hard it is for a person who trusts in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that word trust in riches is really the operative word here, because it isn't that a person that has possessions, it isn't that a person who has status, it isn't that a person who has been successful in this life cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is that it is difficult, because when you have accrued lots of possessions, when you have accrued status, when you have worked hard in your imagination, and because of your hard work, you have attained some goal or some wealth, it's very difficult for you not to depend on what you have accrued, not to depend on what you have readily available and at hand. And when you depend upon the material, it's easy then to forget about the one who gave it to you, the one who has put you where you are today. In the psalm that we just prayed, it's written, "Know that the Lord, He is God. He made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And so we always have to remember, first, to give thanksgiving for all that we have and for all that we possess, or even if we have nothing, even if we have very little, like the woman who merely had two mites, two little coins. We have to thank God even for this. And we also have to remember that in order for a person who has accrued wealth, or has accrued status, or is successful in this life, to have an easier time to inherit eternal life, there is one clear way to do this, and that is by sharing the wealth, as it were, by giving to the poor, by inviting strangers to your home who may have nowhere to go, by inviting somebody you may know who has no place to go for perhaps Christmas, who has no place to go for Thanksgiving. Perhaps they're traveling. Perhaps they have come a long way from home and have no family here, but yet you know them, yet you know they have no place to go. And so one of the ways that we can offer the things that God has given us freely is to offer it back to Him and to offer it back to our neighbor. It is also important during this period of time to remember what we should work to accrue. And if you remember the Catholic epistle from today, from St. Peter, it's written that, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So throughout this period of time when we are fasting, and of course we should use this period of fasting as a launch pad for any time in the future. It isn't that only during this period of fasting that we should focus our spirituality more intensely than other periods of the year. It is that we should use this period of fasting not to acquire wealth, not to acquire status, not to dwell so much on the material, but rather to acquire virtues. And because of this, it is necessary, if any of us here do not yet have a goal, and I'll reiterate something that Abuna has said and that Ram has said last week, if any of us do not have a goal for this fast, a clear goal, and a manner, and a planned way by which we can achieve this goal, a spiritual goal during this fast, we should get one. Because whether you are trying to uproot a sin that you are suffering from, whether you're trying to acquire a virtue, these should be the treasures we should try to seek during this period of time. There's also another aspect of this gospel I want to touch on. There are many aspects to this passage from the gospel, and it would be quite difficult to hit all of them today. I want to focus on the question and on the man that approached the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had the riches, the young ruler. It's written that he called him good teacher, and that he asked him, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus responds to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." This passage, of course, has been used and is used by some to deny the divinity of Christ, but that isn't the point of this passage. The man who approached the Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. And because of this, he did not approach the Lord Jesus Christ at this time as God. When he approached the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it says that he came running and knelt before him, he didn't look at him as though he was God. And so when he called him good teacher, it didn't make any sense, because to call somebody good, or to call him good, he would have had to also acknowledge that he was God. Because truly, there is none good but God. And everybody else, or anything else, that is good, or that we call good, is only good because it derives its goodness from God. God is necessarily and inherently good. Any good that we might possess, or any good that anything might possess, is only derivative. It isn't inherent. It's only from God that we receive such goodness. And so when the Lord says to him that nobody is good but God, it wasn't a glib response, but he was calling out his bluff. He was calling out the flattery with which this person, this young ruler, came and approached the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, of course, he was trying, according to the fathers of the church, to perhaps trap him in saying, abandon the commandments of the Old Testament, abandon all that you know and follow my commandments. But of course the Lord Jesus Christ, perceiving this, first calls out his flattery, because he didn't mean what he said when he called him good teacher, because he didn't look upon him as God. And he reminds him from the Old Testament the commandments that he should have been following. Now, there's another aspect about this young ruler that is important, and that is when the Lord Jesus Christ told him that you know the commandments. He said, I have followed these from my youth. And so, first of all, he testifies to himself that he has followed the commandments from his youth. But, of course, we read in the Pauline epistle just a moment ago, even St. Paul says, in fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. And then each one's praise will come from God. So, this young man who approached the Lord Jesus Christ imagined himself to be righteous. He imagined himself to have fulfilled all the commandments from his youth. But that really isn't true, because when at one point in the gospel somebody asks the Lord Jesus Christ, to summarize the law, or the most important parts of the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ asks that person, well, what do you think it is? And he says, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your heart, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If this is what, if these two things are what encompass the whole of the law, and then this man was sad to hear that he had to let go of his attachment to the material, let go of his attachment to what he had accrued, then really he hadn't fulfilled the law, because he had not loved his neighbor as himself. He had not looked at the poor. He had not looked at the needy, having compassion on them, seeing them as himself, not merely loving them as much as he loves themselves. That isn't what that means. But to see the other person in front of him, to see his neighbor, to see his brother or his sister as himself. Because all of humanity is created in the image and likeness of God. We are all brothers and sisters in that. We all have a common father. And so when he saw that this was what he had to do, and he becomes sad, we know that he hadn't fulfilled all the law from his youth. But the most important part of this is, again to reiterate, while we acquire virtues, and while we acquire and work to acquire spiritual treasures, we should not at the same time imagine that now we have become virtuous, or now we have become something great. But at all times, as is written in the life of Starets Silouan, the word Starets is a word for elder in the Russian church, keep thy mind in hell, but despair not. In other words, always remember that you are a sinner. Always remember and acknowledge where you fall short. But at the same time, do not despair, because we should always recognize that the Lord is merciful. And to deny the Lord's mercy is, of course, to deny all the salvific work that he did for us, and to deny his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. So by way of summary, there are two things I touched upon. First, we have to remember that during this time of fasting, we should work to acquire virtues. Even in the midst of a hard day's work, even in the midst of family problems, in the midst of any hardship that might come along the way, this isn't going to be easy, because it counts only when there is sacrifice. Because the Lord calls for us to sacrifice. And we should always remember that it will be difficult. It's not going to come easy. There are times when you might be reading scripture after a long day's work, and you might fall asleep. So follow the example of Saint Bishoy and stand up, because standing up will wake you up. And finally, we should always remember to trust in the Lord and to thank him for all that he, all of his abundant mercy, and to always acknowledge where we have fallen short. Glory be to our God forever, now and to the ages. Amen.